Amen. That the end of that song says, I'm safe in Jesus. How long? Evermore. When does evermore end? Never. It never ends, right? It's always on. Part of that is because of the attribute we're going to be talking about tonight. God is infinite. The reason we know that we are safe in Christ forever is because God is forever. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9 so we can use our launching pad here. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse number 23. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, and in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another time to study your word. We thank you that we get the chance to know you and to understand more of you. I pray you would help us to do so tonight, that we would grow closer to you through this study. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage here, notice in verse number 23, all the things that that the author here, or that Christ, that God says that men are glorying in, says, let them not glory in all these things. What is in common about these things? Stuff of the world, they're earthly, they're temporary. Thank you. They are temporary. The wisdom, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. How many of you know exactly the same amount of stuff you did when you were your most wise? How many of you forget stuff is what I'm saying. How many of us forget stuff? I forget stuff, like how to phrase that question. I forgot. We forget things, we forget the answers to things all the time. Our wisdom doesn't last. Even the wisest, our wisest scientists, our wisest people in the world, they forget things. Their wisdom goes away. Also, even if they write it in books, the books go away. You know how many amazing books we've lost just by fires or natural causes? Wisdom goes away. Let not a man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. We are constantly, as we age, we don't get stronger. Once we hit a certain point, we start getting weaker, right? We start losing our strength, even the mightiest of them. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger, big old muscles, he's now shrinking a bit. The might doesn't stay. There's another mighty man that comes up behind him. Have y'all seen the World's Strongest Man competitions? Those are kind of fun to watch occasionally. The man is pulling an 18-wheeler. That's some crazy stuff. Or they do some other crazy, massive strength things. You know what happens with those guys, though? Their strength goes away. Or someone else comes and beats their record. Instead of pulling one 18-wheeler, they pull two. And like, there's always something to one-up it. The strength doesn't last. They lose it. Yeah. Yeah. They let not the rich man glory in his riches. We kind of hit on this a little bit earlier, but what happens to riches? Goes away, right? You go to work. Friday you get paid. Friday it's gone to all the bill collectors, right? All the riches, they go away. When the rich man dies, who gets his money? It gets dispersed. Government gets it. Kids maybe get it, but then where does it go then? Again, it goes away. It doesn't stick. It never sticks. But God wants us to glory in the thing that lasts forever. Glory, take joy in Him. He is infinite. He lasts forever. Our knowledge of Him, our wisdom, the understanding of Him is something that we can have for eternity and grow in for eternity. There's many attributes of God. There are innumerable attributes of God. But we kind of separate them into two categories. There's two types of attributes. One is ones that we can imitate. They're called the communicable attributes. We can imitate those. Those were like the last one we studied a couple weeks ago, the Father. We can imitate those attributes in that. His love, His grace, His mercy. We can imitate those. Those are communicable. But then you have the other section that is incommunicable. Those are the ones that are impossible for us to duplicate. It's impossible for us to copy. Today, the infinite is one of those that we can't copy. Sure, we will last forever in the future, but as we're going to talk about in a minute, God doesn't just last forever in the future, He's forever in the past, too. So this is one of those incommunicable ones that we can't comprehend. So what's the point of studying it if it's not one that we can duplicate? A lot of people want, when we study the Bible or we come to church, we're like, all right, what helps me? What can make me better? What can I do? When I'm bringing this one here on infinite, I'm not trying to tell you, hey, you be infinite. I want to impress on you the amazement of who our God is. Because if you understand who He is, maybe you'll want to worship Him and serve Him more fervently. His infinity covers many things, but we're going to only look at a few of those things today. But I expect that once we've gone through this, you'll see the amazing magnitude of our God and the unity through this of His attributes. The first one I want to look at about God's infinity is that God is infinite in existence. Go to Genesis 1. Why not start at the beginning when we're talking about this, right? Genesis 1. Also, if I ask questions, I do expect the answers. So, like, some of you aren't sure if I'm expecting an answer or not. But most of the time, when I ask a question, I am expecting a conversation. So, just it'll help you engage, help me not stand here confused. But here in Genesis 1, look at verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God is infinite in existence. In God, there is no beginning and there is no end. The beginning here is the beginning for us, for creation, for the world. That is the only beginning mentioned in the Scriptures. Notice it says, "In the beginning, God." Therefore, God was before the beginning. Because if God came into existence at the beginning, He wouldn't be there to make the beginning. Does that make sense? Maybe not. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The only beginning is for the earth. There's no beginning for God. He has always been, and He created our beginning. The entirety of the Godhead has also always existed. There's many that teach that God has always existed as, you know, we've always had God, and then He became also God the Son. And then He became God the Holy Spirit. But that's not true. The Bible teaches, we're going to look at it in a second, that all three have always existed. It's always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God never had the Son. He's just always been. Look at John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. Prove this to you from Jesus' own words. John 17. Verse number 5. "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee," what is the rest of that? "Before the world was." right? Before the world was, where was Jesus? With the Father. They were together in glory, in fellowship, in communion with one another for eternity past. I have to kind of stop myself, because when I try to think of eternity past, my brain starts spinning a little bit, because that is humanly incomprehensible. Name something in our physical world that doesn't have a beginning. Everything's had a beginning, right? Water had a beginning. Ground had a beginning. Animals had a beginning. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? It was the chicken. It all had a beginning. Trees had a beginning. Grass has a beginning. Time has a beginning. We have a beginning. But God never did. God is always, as the Trinity, fellowship together. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." There is no beginning, there is no end to the existence of God. We can somewhat comprehend the forever future that we get to have with God. And that's great, right? The forever future that we get to have with Him and fellowship with Him in heaven. But there's also a forever past that He has always existed without ever any kind of ending. He's always existed. Have any of you ever studied or read anything about any kind of false gods, like the Greeks or the Romans or anything like that? Yeah. So all of those, they have a beginning, right? Even the first had a beginning from something else, right? If I remember correctly, in like the Roman mythology, the gods had their beginning from the Titans before them, and then the Titans had their beginning from something else, and they always had a beginning from their God. And you know why they had a beginning? It's because those gods were man-made gods. Our God not having a beginning proves that is one evidence towards the fact that our God is the real God, and He's not a man-made creation. If it was something we thought up, we would have given Him a comprehensible beginning. But the fact that His beginning is incomprehensible because it doesn't exist proves that He's a not man-made God. In Isaiah 43, verse 10, it says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." In Revelation 1:8, Jesus Christ stands up and He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Can't get more plain than that He has always existed, which is, which was, and which is to come. He exists over all planes, over all expanse of time. And this is kind of going in with another attribute, but we talk about how God is... Well, actually, move it here right now. Actually, so number one, God is infinite in existence. Number two, I'm trying to get ahead of myself. Number two, God is infinite in space. Is God ever confined to one specific location? When they made the tabernacle and God filled the tabernacle and sat upon the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat, was that the only place God was? He was still everywhere, right? But He showed Himself right there. When God did the same thing in the temple, the same thing is true, right? What about when God became flesh and He was born of Mary? Was God only in Jesus Christ? No, He was also everywhere at the same time. He chose to, in the tabernacle, in the temple, he chose to show himself forth at, or in the and in the wilderness wandering, chose to show himself forth as a pillar of cloud or as a pillar of fire. He chose to show himself forth to Moses in a burning bush. He chose to show himself forth in to Abraham as a man, or to others as an angel, or as a soldier, or as a warrior. He chose to show himself forth as that way, but that what didn't mean he was isolated to that one spot. When he was born of Mary and God robed in flesh in the womb of Mary, he wasn't just there. He was still, at the time that he was there, he was still holding the world together. He was everywhere. And it wasn't like a portion. It's not like if you cut your fingernail off and you set it over there, that, okay, that's as much as God was in that one spot. No. The entirety of God was in Jesus Christ, while the entirety of God was still on the throne in heaven. The entirety. There was nothing left behind. Jesus left nothing when he became man. He was 100% God. He still had the glory. He still had the power. He still had the knowledge. He still had everything. The only thing he did was cover it in flesh. And we see on the Mount of Transfiguration, he opens that up a little bit for them. A little bit, because they still lived. So just a little bit. God is in all places. He is infinite in space. Also, he is just as much here right now as he was in the tabernacle in the temple. You realize that that amazing smoke and fire that made them tremble and fall on their face lives within you. The same one that spoke from the mountain, that made a nation tremble and fear and beg him to not speak because they were so afraid of the noise. That same God lives within you. The entirety of him lives within you. And not only that, but he's just as much as in you as he is on the planet Pluto, or dwarf planet, but the planet Pluto. I'm from when they called it a planet. But he's as much as on the planet Pluto as he is here. He's as much in the next galaxy as he is here. There's never a spot where he's not all of him there. He shows himself forth in different ways and at different times, but it's all still there. Just like when we talk about the wrath of God, does that mean God's love went away? No. He just chose what? To show forth his wrath. When we talk about hell, right? Hell is a place of torment, a place of suffering. What is being poured out in hell? It's the wrath of God, right? Hell is not just some mystic place. It is where God's wrath is being poured out for all eternity. You realize in Psalm 139 it says that God is there still. All of God. But only those people that are suffering in hell only get to see the wrath of God, because they chose to deny the rest of it. But yet, he's all still there. So you know what kind of breaks my heart? When I think of this from God's point of view, is all for all eternity, you know, we'll see those people be thrown into the lake of fire. But for all eternity, God is there with them, watching them suffer and mourning over them, while his wrath is still being poured out because it needs to be satisfied. But his love and mercy still wishes they would have turned to him. That's on God, the infinity. He is always there in all places. In Psalm 139, I mentioned it, but we're going to read it. Psalm 139, just a couple verses of it. Verse number 7 through verse 10. Says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. There is nowhere that we can escape the presence of God. He is in all places. There is no place where God is not, and there is no time where God is not. What's amazing about God's infinity in Him being infinite in time and an infinite in space is He is infinite in space and time at the same time. So He is with you right now. It is kind of confusing. But He's with you right now as much as He is with you next week in your darkest moments. He is much with you right now as He is currently on that cross dying for you. He is at all times, all places. He is outside of time and space. Let me use this for an illustration. We think of time as, it helps to think of it like this. Time and space is in one sphere. The universe is here. Okay, this is not the world for a second. It's the universe, the galaxy, everything is here. God is outside of it, looking over it. Time, space, matter, it's all here. But God is out here looking at it. And He sees what's happening here 10 years ago. And He sees what's happening right here today. He sees it all because He's there at all times and all places. He's always there. That's the infinity of God. Can you fully comprehend that? I can't, and I'm up here teaching you. It's hard to understand, but the Bible teaches us that it's so. That He's always been, that He always is. There's no place we can go from Him. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, "Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord." Even Solomon, when he built the massive, beautiful, magnificent temple, he said, "God, you can't even dwell in this. I am in awe that you would let me build this to worship you. You can't even dwell in it. We know that the world cannot contain you, but you let us build this to worship you in." Real quick. How often do we come to church with that same kind of awe? That we come into this building together as a church body and we look at the infinite almighty God and say, "Wow, that you would dwell within me. That you would dwell within us and let us worship you. Wow." Our God is infinite in time. He's infinite in space. This infinite in space and time can be a comfort and a challenge. It can be a comfort, or it can be something we take comfort in, or it can be something we fear. Because God is always everywhere at all times. So that means when you're doing good, He's there, He sees it. When you're doing bad, He's there, He sees it. When you're struggling, He's there with you. When you're doing great, He's there with you. This can be both a comfort and a challenge. God is infinite in space. He's infinite in time. He is, number three, infinite in knowledge. There is no end to what He knows. He knows what was, what is, what will be, and what could have been or what could be. Is anyone in here a nerd, like superhero nerd? Okay, yeah, my son, of course. So in superheroes and comics, they have multiple universes, right? You have, the newest one is like Spider-Man. He has one universe where you're main Spider-Man, and then you have all these other ones, right? They have that for all of them. And one of the things in all of them is, what if this would have happened? What if they would have made this choice or that choice? And the comic book creators, the movie creators, they design what could have happened or what would have happened. They decide what that would have been. But you know, we'll sit and we'll be like, what if? Well, the other day, we were coming home from, last week, we came home from church camp. We took the Countryside Teenagers to church camp. And we were coming back on Saturday. We were trying to leave, and it was storming. Heavy rain when we were trying to leave. It was horrible. Soaking wet. But another church's bus would not start. And we had a bus similar size to theirs. So they were like, hey, can you help try to jump us off? I'm like, sure. So we pulled our bus up, tried to jump it off. Ended up making us about, we weren't able to get it to work. It was dead. But we weren't able to get it to work. But we ended up being delayed on our leaving time, our intended leaving time, by about 5-7 minutes. Well, we drive home. And on our drive home, we end up getting stuck in traffic from a wreck that was a 10-car pileup. Yeah, 13-car, that's what it was. 13-car pileup. And there were multiple people injured in it. I think there might have been a fatality, I'm not sure. But it was a bad wreck. And when we saw when the wreck was, saw where we were, and we realized, had we left 5 minutes early, we might have been involved in that wreck. So the what ifs came out. What if we would have? I don't know the what if. We may have been long past it. What if we got out earlier? We could have been past it. God knows the what if. I'm sure you have what ifs in your life. What if you wouldn't have taken this career path? What if you would have taken this career path? What if you would have done this or would have done that? You have what ifs, right? God knows those what ifs. God said, well, if you would have done that, maybe I could have blessed you a little more if you would have taken that path. Well, it's a good thing you didn't take that path, because the what if would have been really bad for you. That he knows all those options. He knows what could have been as much as he knows what is, what was, and what will be. Something does not have to exist in this physical world before God can know about it. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, where God, speaking to Jeremiah, says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was known before he came into physical existence. God already knew him. He already knew how he was going to use him, because he was already there in the future with him. He'd already known who he was. In Romans 8:28, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever sat down and tried to pray to God, and then you're just like, God, I don't know what to say here. I don't know what to pray. I don't know which direction. I don't know what to say. And you're just sitting there just like, that you can't form. God understands and God knows. God knows the struggle you're dealing with. God knows that fight in you, that God knows what you want to say, what you should say. It doesn't have to come out. It doesn't have to be in existence, even in mind, for him to understand it and know it. In Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows everything. There's a couple examples of God knowing what could have been. But one of the ones I want to point out is Matthew 11, verse 23. Jesus, turn there with me so you can see it and maybe glimpse at the context of it. In Matthew chapter number 11, if I can get my fingers to work. In verse number 23, but I say unto you, it shall be, verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Christ knew that had he been on earth at the time of Tyre and Sidon, that they would have repented. If he would have been on earth doing the miracles that he was doing then, they would have repented. He knows what could have been. He doesn't say they may have repented, but he says they would have repented. They would have turned. Now, a lot of people will take that and be like, well, then why didn't God show up then? He did. He sent preachers. He sent prophets. He sent miracles. He sent signs to them to try to get them to turn, but they would not. But Christ here is proving that he knows one area where he's proving he knows what could have been. The fact that God's infinite knowledge, or is infinite in knowledge, is both a warning, again, and a comfort to believers. Comfort that he knows what we're going through and he knows what we need, but a warning that he knows our sins, but he also knows the morals behind, the desires behind, motives behind our sins. He knows that you sin, or your right actions even. Many of us have done right actions with wrong motives. Right? Yeah, you returned, or you did something in a job that you were supposed to do only because you didn't want to get fired. Or you returned something only because you didn't want to go to jail. Or you were nice to somebody only because you knew people were watching. The motives behind it, God knows too. God is infinite in his knowledge. There's nothing we can hide from him. He's infinite in space, in time, and in knowledge. And lastly, he's infinite in attributes. His attributes themselves are without numbers, and they are also without limits. When we talk about God's power, can God's power run out? Why did God rest on day 7? It was to show us. Because God didn't use up any power. He used his power, but he didn't use up any power. He had the same amount of power on day 0 or day -1 as he did on day 7. He had the same exact amount of power. There was never a moment where he lost his power. Superman gets worn out when he's fighting a strong man, in the competitions. He pulls that 18-wheeler. He's done after that. He's cooked. He's not going to be able to pull anymore. You go through your day. You do your job. You work. You're tired at the end of the day, right? God is never exhausted, never tired. His power is limitless. But not only is his power limitless, but so is his grace. You will never sin so much that God's grace and God's mercy will ever run out for you. You know, we talk about the sin unto death. Can you sin so much that God takes you out of this world? Yeah, it's called the sin unto death. You've sinned enough. You've profaned his name enough that he says, I got to take you out. Is his mercy and grace run out on you on there? No, actually, his mercy and grace is being shown forth to you because he's like, you've done enough that you've done so much harm for yourself and for the gospel. I've got to take you out to protect you, but to protect those around you. So God's mercy and his grace is not done. It's being showed forth there as well. God doesn't stop loving you. Can you sin so much that God stops loving you? No, I mentioned earlier that so, and God so loved the world is an infinite amount of love. it doesn't run out. It can't run out. Our God in his attributes, in the limit of the attributes, is infinite. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. His power, his might cannot be exhausted, but his knowledge can't be exhausted. Trying to understand him, he's so infinite. The extent of it is infinite. His attributes are infinite. Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord, and of great power his understanding is infinite. Trying to understand it. Great. After God created the world, he had the same amount of power. As God poured his love out on the cross onto you, and his love and his mercy was shown forth there, it did not exhaust on the cross. It came off that cross to walk with you, as much as Christ came off that cross and to walk with you. His love, his mercy, his power, it's infinite. Guys, listen. We can become, because we're humans and we have flawed examples in our world, we can become convinced that God stops loving us and stops caring about us because we've done something or something is going on in our life. God is always infinitely loving you. He loves you just as much today as he did on that cross. No matter how much you've sinned, he loves you. And he gives you grace and he gives you mercy. Also, he loves you just as much as he loves the person down the street who we otherwise wouldn't talk to. The despised, the rejected of the world, the ones on death row in prison for their heinous crimes. God's infinite love is towards them too, if they would just accept it. It doesn't run out. It's infinite. His ability to save and forgive is an infinite, eternal thing. After your salvation, God still has the same amount of grace and mercy to extend forgiveness to you. You know, we talk about, he loved me enough to save me, right? Does he love me enough to keep me? One of the massive problems with the idea that you can lose your salvation is it's saying that God loved me then, but he doesn't love me now. And what you're doing there, you're limiting God and you're making yourself over God. So you're not worshiping God. You got the wrong God if you can lose your salvation. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." There is never a point where anything of God runs low or runs out. God is not limited to our physical limits. He is infinite. This applies to every single one of his attributes. In closing, our God is infinite. This should bring us comfort. It should also bring fear. It should put us in awe of God, causing us to desire to worship him more. And when I say fear, I'm not talking fear and trembling where we're scared to talk to him, scared to go to him, but fear in like respect, where a father can look at a child with a certain look, or mother, because they're better at it sometimes. They can look at a child with a certain look and the child knows what to do. We look at God and we see who he is and we know what we ought to do. Not out of fear of what he's going to pour on us, but out of love and awe of who he is and what he's done. In closing on this, I want to read Psalm 11:33. Will you follow there with me, please? I said Psalm. I meant Romans. Did I say Psalm or did I say Romans? No, that's what I thought. I meant Romans. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. We're going to read down to 36 and we'll close. But I think Paul here in this portion sums up God's infinity very well. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who knoweth the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of studying your word. God, I pray that you would help us to be in awe of who you are. God, I pray it would challenge us to grow closer to you and to love you more and to serve you with more fervence and more boldness. God, I just thank you for everything that you do for us. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.